Any beverages or food into the church. Refreshments must remain in the Duke Room. My name is Patrick, and I'm an alcoholic. This is an open meeting of the Atlantic Group of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. It is our belief that our meeting structure is necessary to maintain the integrity of the group so that it may better carry the message of AA. And since the most important aspect of AA recovery is one alcoholic relating to another, only alcoholics participate. If your primary problem is other than alcoholism, we think it would also be helpful for you to contact an anonymous organization which more specifically deals with your addiction. Our literature persons have the list of such groups with their phone numbers. In any case, we hope that what you learn here may be helpful to your recovery and or understanding. Ashley will read the preamble.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I'm an alcoholic. AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
Please join in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Colin will read the steps.
Hello, my name is Colin, and I'm an alcoholic. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Meredith will read the traditions.
Hi, my name is Meredith. I'm an alcoholic. The traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Two, for our group purposes, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Six, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the AA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
The format of this meeting is 2 10-minute speakers, followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Kevin.
Surprise me. Hi, my name's Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. Well, I was a little surprised. I thought she was going to go first, but I'm ready. All right, my name is Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. My sober date is New Year's Eve, 2003, and I'm a member of the Atlantic Group. I basically really love this group because one of the reasons is because they follow the traditions, and the fifth tradition is each group has but one primary purpose: carry the message of alcoholics who still suffer, and you can find it easier here than you can find it anywhere else, in my eyes, from my experience. All right, I got 10 minutes, so I got to get busy. All right, well, near my first recognition, I was 8 years old. I grew up in a nice suburban family in Floral Park, nice house, a few siblings, a brother and two sisters, and everything was pretty nice. And one day in my life, my father came home in a state of rage. He kicked in the TV and left. My mother had a nervous breakdown. I wound up in like a semi-foster care with relatives. And I lost the house. And I'm saying that is because a resentment was built that almost took me to the gates of death. What happened was that I wound up with a nice uncle in Huntington for about 3 or 4 years. About 10 or 11 or 12, I was shipped to an alcoholic family in Queens Village, New York. And verbal abuse, physical abuse was rampant. And one night they were both alcoholic. And my first drink was at a Christmas party. There was drinks all around. And a lot of people use the term, I had arrived. That wasn't my case. What happened to me was the great relief of bondage of self. I really lost all that fear, all that anxiety, worry, all those things. It was a magic elixir for me. It got me out of myself from the very first time. And everything was the same, and I became a weekend warrior. I would get whacked every weekend. And it went on for a few years. I was losing interest in school, and at about 16, I couldn't deal with the verbal and physical abuse anymore. So I signed myself out of school at 16, got myself a job at 16, and I rented myself a room in this little Spanish household for $60 a week. And I was on my own, and still I couldn't shake that great release from alcohol. I would, from a weekend warrior, I became a midweek warrior. And total out-and-out warrior. So I was looking for direction. I wanted to join the Army at 17. My mom wouldn't sign me in because the war was going on in Vietnam. And my 18th birthday, I went into service. And over there, they had a bar in the barracks. It just progressed. And I got out of the service with the skin in my teeth, and I came home. And first, I was living with my family. Then my drinking was really pretty serious, and I got asked to leave from there. Then I became at a friend's house, and I became an unwelcome guest on many friends' couches. And then, late 20s, out-and-out homelessness. I picked a pretty rough neighborhood because I was homeless in the neighborhood, and I said, you know what? Let me get out. So I wound up in the South Bronx, and you know what goes on up there. Some of you guys that ran that way. So that's another part of my story that I'm not supposed to mention. Okay. So I got the 5-minute warning. It was out of control. And my drinking was out of control. So a lot of times I went in and I did half measures. They told me I was in a dozen detoxes. When you get out of detox, go to a meeting. I never made it to a meeting most of them times. And it's true what they say about half measures. And on my last drink, I got beat up pretty bad at a crack spot. And in a drunken blackout, fractured my skull in 3 places, punctured my lung with a stab wound, broke my shoulder, and I wound up in a coma. And when I got wheeled out of there in a wheelchair after I got out of the coma, I said, there's 2 things I'm going to do. Get my health back as best I can. And I knew about this group, and I'm going to say, I'm get busy. So I got James as a sponsor. And I started procrastinating on step 4 and 5. And James, now, this was an ego. It really woke me up. And my ego motivated me. This is the irony of it. My ego motivated me. He said, you're a good guy and all, but if you're not going to get busy with this step 4 and 5, we're going to have to part our ways. So I got busy because my ego wouldn't let me come in there. And when I got through the 4 and 5, I realized that I had a deep, embedded resentment towards my father. And I had a big ego with a very low self-esteem. And that's what the process of the steps did for me. That was big. It's because I love the book because it outlines, it has directions, it has warnings, it has solutions, and it has the promises. The promises are a beautiful fulfillment of after you finish the process of steps. That's what comes into your life. Let me just gather my thoughts. I know I got a couple of minutes left here. I learned a lot of things that right before you get into step 4. This is what blew me away. Our liquor was but a symptom. That really was an eye-opening thing. And so we had to get down to causes and conditions. And another thing I learned, I took this resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stems all forms of spiritual disease. I had a big resentment, and I imagine it was running in my family for maybe hundreds of years. and I'm grateful I could break that chain. You may laugh, but it goes on. Where I'm at now, I only have 1 minute left, and he's going to say goodbye to me in a couple minutes, is the culmination. If you do get down, if you get busy, you do the steps, they don't just materialize in your life. It's action. You take action, and then the promises start to materialize in your life. I found this one, and I want to read this to you. As we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, as we discovered of his presence, we began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. You don't get these things. They don't come to you. You got to work for it. It's a disease I don't recover from. It's a disease that I have to maintain. And I'm grateful I have them. I'm grateful that I have the desire to maintain my disease. And that's about it out of me, guys.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Andrea.
Hi, I'm Andrea. I'm an alcoholic. I have a sponsor, Amy D. I have a home group, AG. And my sobriety date is 6/12/07. So what it was like, what it's like now, and how I got here. What it was like, I'm 23, I'm young, you know, and I had a lot of fun, and it led to a lot of misery. I had a host of fair weather friends, but I was always lonely. And I always wanted the outsides to look good, and I always achieved it. But my insides, like, were killing me. I was a miserable. I was a wreck. And I started to see that there might be a different way to live my life. That I didn't have to be upset all the time. That I didn't always have to be in my head. And I started seeing people that were close to me come into the program. But to backtrack for a second, I grew up in New York City. Fast. You know. Loved it. But at the same time, I hated it, you know. I loved you if you did something that I liked, but I hated you if you did something I didn't like. I was a very black and white person, and I wouldn't change for the world. And I got to a point where I was miserable. I just hit this bottom within myself that I can't even explain. I just felt so bad all the time, and I was in self-pity all of the time, and that's hard for me to admit, because I like to believe that I can, you know, I say to my sponsor all the time, like, oh, I'll just deal with it. What that means, I don't know, and I lived my life dealing with things, and it doesn't work. It didn't work. It hasn't worked. What works are these rooms, but that's in a minute. I hit a bottom, and like I didn't want to admit it. I really didn't want to admit it. I didn't even know if I was really an alcoholic. You know, I'm 23. Like, aren't you supposed to go out and get blacked out drunk and like have crazy stories and like pictures piece together your nights? Like, isn't that like the cool thing to do? That's what I always thought, and it's apparently not. You know, it's not normal. It's not normal. But I filled my life with such people that it was normal. Like, we all called each other like, oh, what'd we do last night? I don't know. Like. Look at the pictures. Look at Facebook, you know, go for it. So that's sort of how it was going on. And all my friends, you know, were in the same boat as me. And I just became so terminally disgusted and miserable with myself that I couldn't handle it anymore. So I sought help, and I put down things, but I'd never put down alcohol because I was like, that's not my problem. Like, I'm not an alcoholic. I know what alcoholics are, and that's not me. You know, I can like maintain myself. I can handle myself. I can compose myself. I can go out. I don't drink in the morning. Da, 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 da. You know, not true. I am an alcoholic. It started with a drink. It ended with a drink. And when I take that drink, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, like, I could be fine or I could be blacked out and crazy. It doesn't matter. You know, it's like Russian roulette. You know, am I willing to play the game anymore? And it's no. You know, my life is too important to me right now. I came to a point where I said, something's got to give. And I put things down and I just wouldn't give up alcohol. I didn't understand what the problem was. And I saw people that were in my life very close to me come into this program, and they were getting really happy. You know, they would go for oatmeal with people and come back smiling and happy. And I was like, what is going on? Like, how are you so happy to eat oatmeal? Like, I don't care how many fruit you put in your oatmeal. Like, it's not that great. Like, you shouldn't be glowing. Like, your eyes shouldn't be this bright. Like, are you under, like, did they slip something in your oatmeal? Like, I don't understand. And I just saw this light, and it's a program of attraction rather than promotion. And I just saw this light, and I saw the attraction. And so I thought I'd give it a shot. And I went to, like, a meeting a week. And, you know, I'd go hungover. You know, no big deal. But I listened, and I got what I needed to get. And when I was finally at my breaking point, I asked someone to be my sponsor, and I jumped into the steps, and I did it vigorously. What I do today is a lot of things. It's a program of action. So the first thing I do every morning is I hit my knees, you know, and I do have a hard time with that for a newcomer. Like, I call it whatever. I'm like, whatever, help me, keep me sober. Thank you, whatever you are. You know, that's what I do, and that's enough, you know. And since I've done that, since I've started to actually take the action to hit my knees in the morning, at night, sometimes even in the day, things work out okay. Even if they're not okay, like, they're okay. And so that's what I do. I pray. My way doesn't work. I pray for clarity on situations, and I generally get it. You know, God doesn't make too hard terms for those who seek him. So that's what I do. Then I call my sponsor every morning, and I do that so that I've never been accountable in my life, ever. And I'm accountable, and I try to be honest, and it's a program of honesty, and apparently I'm very dishonest and vague. So I pray to be honest and less vague and clear, and it helps. And, you know, and my sponsor is the voice of reason, you know, tells me what's going on, you know, how to break it down. And then it also allows me to get a connection with my higher power. I work the 12 steps. I'm currently on step one, but I work the 12 steps. And, you know, if I don't want to change, then I won't work the 12 steps. But I do want to change. I don't want to just be sober. I want to be in sobriety. And I have a home group, and I do that because a lone wolf does not survive on its own. You know, a lone wolf will not survive. You need to be in a pack. You know, you have to be in the middle of the pack. And I refuse to leave this now. So I have a home group, and I have two service commitments at my home group. And that's so that I'm accountable, again, you know, so I show up. People are relying on me to serve the coffee. People are relying on me to sell them CDs. You know, it's like that. Those are my commitments, and I do them. I don't question it. I just do it. I also read literature every day. Every day I start my morning or I end my night with reading literature. And that helps me to remember that there's a solution. There is a solution. It's in the book. It's right there in front of me. And all I have to do is pick up and read it. I also call three people in the program a day with not time. And that helps me get a foundation. I'm obsessed with myself, so it helps me get out of myself for however long they'll talk to me. So it's very helpful. And another thing I do is unselfish acts. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It gets me out of myself for like a minute, and that's amazing, you know, because I'm always thinking about myself. It's sick. And so I do that. I also do three gratitudes a day, and those, I can't be in self-pity when I'm grateful. They don't match. It's like oil and vinegar. Like, it doesn't work. So that helps me tremendously. And also, you know, my connection with my higher power, it grows. The more work I do, the more work I do with my sponsor, the more work I do on my own, the more work I do in prayer. And as my prayer gets bigger, and as my whatever gets bigger, I can lead a useful life. Like, my goal is to be of maximum service. And I try day to time. Like, I'm not perfect. And I think that if I don't drink and I don't do other things, that's a miracle. You know, it is an absolute miracle. But in the same regard, if I want to change and I want to live a healthy and useful life, I have to do these steps. And I mean, I don't have to. No one's putting a gun to my head. But I want to do them. Like, I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to be the person that I was meant to be. And I want to be comfortable being me. And that's what these steps and the fellowship and sponsorship and prayer has really brought to my life. So if, you know, you're new and you don't know if you're an alcoholic, like, I was there too, you know, and I am one, you're probably one too. But, you know, just like, stick around, enjoy the ride, you know, it's kind of fun. Even when it's bad, it's fun, you know, you can laugh at it later. And just stick with it, and that's it. Thank you.